welcome to Frontier Fiction, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We're coming to you all the way from the frozen north and and not frozen Oregon. It's not easy to stay sane in Alaska and Oregon, so we get together with one of our favorite pastimes to let the voices in our heads out to play. My name is Zeb, playing Maddox.
My name is Veda, and I'm playing Solana.
I'm Wacy, playing Dacian.
I'm Anna, playing Maeve.
And I'm Colton, I'll be the DM tonight. I guess from now on, maybe we should just say, coming at you from the West Coast, right?
The Northwest?
I think we should just pretend that we're all in Alaska.
Okay. We're all being recorded here.
Mm-hmm. That's like one of our shticks.
It's true. You know? It's like one of our only shticks.
Our only shticks.
If you take that away, we just become another D&D podcast.
We don't want that. Nobody wants that.
But we're a funny one.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of personality.
A lot of personality.
We're not that hot, but we're not good at sports, but we have a lot of personality. This podcast will do good in college. That's what all of us fans will say.
Our moms are really proud of us.
Oh, boy.
Speak for yourself.
Well, let's roll to see who's doing our crazy recap.
Oh, yeah.
Got my fresh dice. 18.
11.
Ooh. 12.
22.
22. I knew it.
No, I got a 14.
I got a 4.
Roll the D4. No, I just looked like he did.
Oh. Okay, on your marks. Get set, go.
I don't remember what happened.
You got 10 seconds.
Zeb and Veda, Maddox and Solana fought a fire. We suspect it may be...
Over.
Oh my.
So we left off last time. Everyone went to bed, as we often do.
Oh,
by
yeah,
the end of an episode. Strange how it always works out that way. But I digress. There was a note that was left stuck on Maeve's door. Everyone had rushed back there, kind of concerned for Bond, who was the other bearer of the sending stone. And there was a note left there basically saying to mind your own business. And that's right where we left off. Everybody was determining what the next course of action was going to be. Or did you guys just decide to go to bed? I don't remember.
We just went to bed.
Just went to bed?
We were just like, screw it.
Go to sleep. That's what my notes say.
Well, it's a good way to mind your own business. Just go to bed.
We listened for once.
The evening passes without further event, and the night, you all wake to your regular morning chores or lack thereof. What does your day or morning look like? What are you guys trying to accomplish today? First for yourselves, and then what are you thinking of trying to do?
I think Maddox is kind of just by himself thinking about getting out of town. Because it's not looking super great. Secrets were shared, and he'd just glare at, what's her face?
Maeve.
Every time every time he passed her, probably her in the kitchen or whatever, doing her breakfast ritual, or she was up early doing chores, I don't know. But he'd just kind of be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. We're all gonna die. And probably find Dacian eventually. And start talking to him about, like, what the next step should be.
All right. Dacian, what are you doing this morning?
Go.
Dacian spent the night actually out of doors, and were you sleeping at all?
No.
Okay, he was been up all night on top of sort of the eave over Maeve's porch. looking down the front drive and over the front fields and kind of around the corner towards where the shed and the barn obscure some of her property, where the wall surrounds the city, and out towards the open fields to his left, where other property is next to Maeve's farm and real estate. Wasey, throughout the night, Dacian saw some foot traffic, you know, kind of walking up and down the street. He saw maybe every now and then someone walking a little slower quickly that got your attention. You didn't see any foot traffic at all up the main drive. You didn't notice anything stirring in the fields. It is hard to see at night, like particularly hard to see. There's some lights here or there, but you didn't see or hear anything in particular. You have been curious about the state of the sending stone that you obscured in the field earlier.
Okay.
What do you do this morning?
You could probably climb down and go uncover the stone that he had buried the night before.
Mm-hmm. You guys hear just the ever so softest creaking up on the roof. And Dacian, you make your way down that sketchy ladder and out towards the aqueduct system that Morph is in charge of filling. Bond's been helping lately, regularly, to make sure the water is distributed out to all the crops in a tricky and elaborate way in this dry and harsh desert. And you go to the spot right where you planted the rock, and you find what you find depends on your investigation roll.
13.
There were no footprints here.
Mm-hmm.
This place is not a place that like Morph needed to walk in order to fill up the aqueducts or anything like that. There's like maybe some bird prints here or there, and then there were yours. Now you can see where footprints have been purposefully obscured.
Hmm.
And looking around the surrounding area, something stands out to you, even with the 13, in this kind of soft, damp earth. It appears that a pair of boots apparated kind of out of nowhere, took a few steps around the area, smoothed over their own footprints, like not to where, like it doesn't look like someone was trying to conceal that they were there, but was just lazily making sure you couldn't deduce very much about their boots. And then almost like if it has a feel of cocky rudeness, like not going to make it easy for you. And then the boots disappear. And it looks like the way they disappeared, they kind of jumped into the air a little bit, kicking dirt over their final boot print, and then did not land. I will also say, with the 13, the jump was not deep, like they vaulted into the air or took off, just gone.
Okay. Well, he's probably going to leave the stone right there and not pick it up, since they obviously can track its own location and they know where it is. And head back to the house.
Okay.
Thinking to himself that very likely could have been the king's own assassin.
Are there breakfast smells as Wasey's character returns to the house or not?
Yes.
Early in the morning?
Yeah.
Who's in charge of that?
I don't know. Maeve, are you in the kitchen?
No. Maeve would be working on her map. The underground cave system.
Well, then it's
her glitter is out. Yes.
The kitchen is calm and clean and smells good.
Good distinction.
Calm, clean, smells good.
Yes.
Dacian and Maddox, I believe you had planned to speak to each other.
Did
you have words for Dacian?
Words. I have words for you. Well, I would have known that you were checking on the stone overnight, so I would have asked you about that, if you saw anybody. And I assume you can tell me what you saw, right?
Yeah, some of it. He would have said that nobody came or went while he was watching all night, but whoever did come to look over it could tell exactly where it was, and they just appeared there and disappeared in the same way.
Huh. They didn't take the stone?
They didn't walk to it, and he did not believe that the dirt looked disturbed.
Oh, you didn't put eyes on the stone?
No.
Okay.
Is that a problem, Maddox? Are you curious that they might have been able to move it through the dirt without disturbing the dirt?
Somebody that can appear and disappear from an area might be able to make other things appear or disappear from an area. Though I don't know what the qualifications would be for that. They needed to be able to see it. Or maybe they just had to be that close in order to control it. I don't know. Or maybe they didn't care. Although it's hard for me to believe that they went there and didn't do anything with it. Why would they go there just for the purpose of going there and then leaving?
Could be because that's what they were tracking and that's where they showed up.
Right, but then when they found it, they said, okay, well, I got to the place where I tracked it to and then just left.
Well, they obviously left a note.
Well, that was before. The note was there when we got home, and then you buried the stone.
I thought Dacian had buried it before we had left.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it kind of seems to me if we keep our mouth shut and he'd scowl in the direction of Maeve, we should be all right.
For now, I think so. We are semi-useful to those with greater power in this town.
Do you think that the people that are after Bon are the same people that were tracking the stones, or do you think they're separate?
I think they're different. I do.
Okay. Great. More people to watch out for.
Yeah, but I think these people we don't have to worry about as long as we keep our mouths shut.
All right.
He would very deliberately not look at Maeve.
Maeve is upstairs right now, not being glared at.
Maeve, what are you doing this morning?
She's working on her map. I would be upstairs with all of the notes and my cartography books all spread out with like as big a sheet of paper as I could find. And if I couldn't find a very big piece of paper, I would have like patched together several roughly in the shape of the path that I thought we'd taken, and putting together all the information and like marking hazards with colored pencils. And there's like yarn strings laid out kind of like a Criminal Minds board where you can, you know, push pins from one place to another to show the paths we took.
How do you represent the long man in the ceiling?
like a small mouse skull glued to some equivalent of pipe cleaners.
Wonderful.
I'm not looking very close at it. Didn't spend a lot of time on it.
Now he's dead.
Still not very comfortable with it, the fact that it existed at any point.
Yeah, Vaughn rises fairly early and is pretty easy to overlook, surprisingly, with her size, because she's just kind of perched herself near the fireplace in a meditative stance and is sitting there almost perfectly still with her eyes closed and her hands resting on her knees. Occasionally, if you spend any length of time looking at her, it would seem as though the shadows in the room flex ever so slightly towards her as she inhales, and then bend away from her ever so slightly as she exhales.
Maddox would be keeping his distance. So, and he kind of says in quotes, but doesn't use his fingers, friends, what's the next step? Maybe pick up a chair and hit the ceiling to get Maeve's attention.
Dump, dump, dump.
Family meeting, Maeve.
You messed up my line. I'm going to have to start over. And you hear, like, crumpling of paper and shredding.
Yeah, you messed up my life.
I think that was Dacian. She's going to stomp downstairs.
Team effort.
Hang on just a second.
To what? She's going to come downstairs with, like, a book in one hand, still reading it, and then another, like, holding up a map of something that she's working on. And she would just, like, walk over to the group but keep looking at the things that she's doing and comparing them back and forth. Start taping up papers to the walls.
Okay. Looks great. I'm gonna tell you, my one and only goal from this point on is I would like people to stop paying attention to me. The people looking for Bon, the people looking for the stones, the people that are interested in the information we have, and he scowls at Maeve. And I would like you, and he looked at Daisy again, to tell me how we can do that.
Morph raises his hand.
Not now, Morph.
Let him speak. He's being polite.
He rolls his eyes and says, okay, fine.
He says, if you don't want people to pay attention to you, how come you do cool stuff on stage?
That's a fair point. Just gonna say, you did tell an entire crowd to come to you with any information about Bon and Shadows.
Maybe I should be more specific on who I don't want paying attention to me. But, Morph, when you're put into a position where you are responsible for people's lives and are on these missions and adventures that really you had very little choice in being connected to, you have to make the best of it. And sometimes you have to take more responsibility than you want to. Now, some people, and he looks at Maeve again, don't take this responsibility with the gravity that it deserves and puts other people, scowls at Maeve again, in a position where the attention that they were getting is more potentially negative.
You say one thing wrong, and all of a sudden, she's not going to turn around. She's still working on her map.
Can we get rid of some of the things that we're dealing with?
Yeah.
At this,
I do believe that the people that are interested in us because of the in connection with the stones are in the note are probably one and the same. And they would rather that we were still around, but they don't want us blabbing about that particular bit of information.
Where did we get these stones again?
I bought them from that little place beside the academy. They seemed really nice. There were so many cool things in there. There was, like, this glowing thing. And, I was really distracted. But it seemed like... The Fraternity of Creators. They seemed legit. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they probably are legit. And they're connected to the Academy, right?
Yeah.
People from the Academy submit their creations to them and they can sell them. Is that fair?
That sounds right.
Okay, and the Academy is really closely connected to the castle. So, I mean, if we want to forget about it, that's fine. I'm happy with that. If we want to look into specifically who's tracking us and who's noticing us, I think talking to that merchant again, subtly, and maybe hopefully unnoticed, and he looks at Dacian, would be a good start. Or we can just forget about it if you want. And hope that nobody, and looks at Maeve, says anything else that might be considered indecent, I don't know.
I think if we keep our mouths shut, it shouldn't be an issue. I do think they're connected in some way to the palace. I don't know who specifically, but if you would like us to keep an eye out or try to dig further to discover who, we could, though that may draw more unwanted attention, as you call it, upon ourselves. Until we have something else beyond this working theory. And as far as the other source of attention that is undesirable, he looks slightly at Bon, and those that are chasing Bon, those we can do something about. And I think they are probably the only ones that are any sort of an actual issue. There are those in this world who, or in this city, who know things, and maybe reaching out to some trusted people that you may or may not know, Maddox, you might be able to discover who or where to start pulling on a thread.
So I just need some clarification. When was the last time anybody came looking for Bon? Like, when have we had any trouble with anybody searching for her, asking about her lately? Because I feel like it's been a while. Maybe I'm just doing other things when people are asking questions.
Well, I mean, nothing really since, I don't want to call it this, the battle.
Really?
What, you mean that little scuffle you guys had?
Yeah, little scuffle.
So, hypothetically, I'm not going to say that we let our guards down, but hypothetically, anybody who knows where she is and was looking for her could have died.
I somehow doubt that. Billy, I believe, was a small piece, a very small piece of this puzzle, and he played a fairly large-ish role in this town, in that class of people. And the message and the correspondence that somebody had, he looks at Maddox, had with Billy's contacts, I do believe are slightly suspicious now and have probably sent someone or some others here to discover what happened to her and probably retrieve her. They put a lot of effort, time, and money into getting her in the first place. I don't think they're just going to let her go.
I don't feel like I remember hearing anything about any correspondence or letters or anything like that, but unless there's something specific that I need to know about, that's beside the point. The question is, this isn't sustainable. Like, we can hide her here for a while, but, and as much as I love having you here, Bon, she's gonna, like, walk over and pat her, like, really hard on the shoulder. I love having you here, and I appreciate the work you do around the farm, but I just don't see that having you here forever, if there are serious people looking for you, is sustainable. So, do we go after the people that are looking for you and kind of get to the root of the problem, or do we get rid of you and send you somewhere else that's safer?
Bon opens her eyes when you pat her really hard, and like all the shadows in the room kind of snap a little bit and warble. And then she looks around and starts listening, and she says, I am just your guest when I am no longer welcome. Just let me know.
You are more than welcome. I just don't know, is your desire to stay here forever? Do you have plans that you want to do? If you want to stay here forever, that's fine with me, but we need to figure out some solutions to the people that are looking for you.
We had discussed shepherding goats.
All right.
And caring for your livestock. However, if that's not, in your words, sustainable, I am more than capable of taking care of myself in the wild. And comfortable, even though there are not many hats in the wild.
So we're taking down the organization looking for
Bond. Bond, you just told me like a day ago that you didn't feel you were up to confronting those that were looking for you. And now...
Just to clarify, Bond did not say anything that at all that I was aware of that made it sound like she wanted to tackle anybody. She's saying she could go live alone in the woods and be happy.
Right.
Okay.
Let me finish. Thank you, Mr. Colton. And now you're saying that you would like to stay here indefinitely. And what Maeve is saying is that if that's the case, you need to be able to confront those people because they won't stop coming for you. So she's giving you options. Either you stay and work to bring down those organizations, or you find someplace safe to hide. In the wild, taking care of yourself. He does in quotes.
Probably without goats, though. It's hard to sustain goats in the wild.
Or keep them quiet.
Yes. Hard to hide with goats. They're very noisy, very talkative.
Yes, I'm not prepared to face those that were able to wipe out my entire village with their resources by any means. And so if what the short one is saying is that I must make this choice now, then I would take my leave.
What? This doesn't sound right.
No, I'm not saying right now.
No.
I'm saying that this is a crossroads and we have to decide which direction we're going to be heading.
It's going to take a while to figure out what's going on anyways. You'd have time to prepare.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not that short.
I was referring to Maddox.
I don't know what you're laughing at, Maeve. You're shorter than I am.
Yes, but you are a male, and it's less appropriate.
Also, not to put oil in this fire, but I also can get very tall.
Good point.
You know, Vaughn, I think you do well in the wild.
She says, well, I don't need to pack, so when it's time for me to leave, just let me know.
It's not time.
I don't want her to leave.
It could very well be time.
Deacon puts his back up against the wall and leans against it and just kind of watches this watches like a tennis match with his head swiveling back and forth between whoever's talking.
You guys hear the door slam and you catch it as it like teeters back open just for a moment before it closes. You can see Morph running away into back kind of towards the shed.
That probably startled Solana. Mm. She probably shook.
It was pretty jarring, yeah. It slammed pretty hard.
Maeve's gonna go after him. Striding. Deep sigh, hands on her hips. She's gonna take her book and read that as she walks.
Alex is gonna go to the couch, sit down, put his hat over his eyes and say, let me know what we're doing next.
That's helpful. Well, if we want to try to figure out more about what's going on with the people that tried to take Bond, maybe we could go investigate more of the people that do some of the trading that smuggle things in here. That's where we found her.
If I remember correctly, we kicked that particular band of guys out of town.
But that can't be the only one.
No.
You guys, based on your investigation, you determined that that particular caravan was more notorious than others for being known for bringing in and out goods that were not supposed to be brought in and out. And Marvin was quite fed up with them in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the lack of assistance he was getting in stopping, like, those particular smugglers. Though there are undoubtedly others.
Right.
And he would probably be the person to talk to about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I miss our little friend.
You're not with us.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You are barging away.
Right, so Morph is in his favorite hiding spot that you don't know about. Behind the shed where he can listen to you when you're working with the clay.
Morph. What are you doing?
It's just quiet.
Morph, I know you're here.
No, you don't.
What's going on?
Nothing.
That's the somethingest nothing I've ever heard.
I don't know what that means.
It means it's that's not the truth.
I don't want Bond to go away.
Hmm. We're going to try to have her stay, but you need to help us out with that.
What do I need to do?
Two things. You need to make sure your chores are done on time so she doesn't have anything to complain about. And you need to make her feel welcome and make her feel like she's needed and wants to stay.
I already do those things.
More.
More?
You can never be welcomed enough.
I'm the only person around here who does my chores.
She's all running off.
And she's still leaving. I don't think that's going to work.
You don't know that until you try.
Okay. Kay. Give me a persuasion check.
Oh, hi.
Yay. 19.
He says, normally I thought that when you do something over and over again and expect something else to happen, that's you're crazy. But you're very persuasive.
Well, good. Now that that's settled, just make the most of the time you have with Bond and make sure you're doing your best. Just gonna pat roughly, because I'm assuming he's under something.
Yeah, he's like kind of in a lean-to shed where you like would have kept firewood back when this place, like when the furnace was run in this building. Mm. And it's kind of like there's peepholes into the workshop from out there. So that's where he hides.
She's gonna like pat the wall or the roof beside him, like she's patting his head, roughly. And then nod firmly like she's done a good job. And
you hear a sneeze.
Bless you. And walk back to the house.
Okay. What are you guys up to? What have you determined?
So we can go talk probably to Marvin and find out more if we want to head in that direction. Or we can try to get back into the castle, but I don't really know what to do there. I mean, the academy.
At the moment, I believe there's some that have expressed an interest in doing something more related to Vaughn at this point, at this moment, so I think that's where we'll start. That's whether that means discovering who's after her and doing something about that, or helping her pack and leave, is yet to be determined.
Well, the castle seems pretty secure, and I don't like the feeling of stuff like this going on in our town, so I'd rather work on this. It seems more productive for everyone.
So you're saying whether or not Bond left, you want to work on figuring out and doing something about the crew that is after her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, it would be better with her. Well, she's very strong.
I guess we can start there. Maddox, do you know that guy that you always hung out with that was with Billy? I don't remember seeing his body laying around.
You talking about Al?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I remember him.
Do you think you might be able to find him and possibly get some more information out of him?
As it happens, I didn't tell you about this, but I already did that.
Oh, okay. What did you find out?
Hung out a couple of nights ago, played some cards, had some drinks, and we talked for a while.
Okay.
I mean, he doesn't have any information. He's not tied up in it. Okay. He's mostly taking over the lighter end of things in that power vacuum.
Okay. Okay. He's taking Billy's place.
Yeah.
But not...
He's a good contact, but he gave me all the info he had, and he didn't have any.
Okay. So he doesn't have any leads as to who to talk to, and he is not in contact with this group.
Right. You know what I didn't ask him? Because he said there were multiple people kind of trying to take up this vacuum. I didn't ask him who those people were.
That would be very useful information, since I no longer am certain as to who that may be. Billy was a nice known piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Well, let me try and get in touch with him again.
Okay.
I can do that while you guys talk to Marv, if you like.
I think that may be a good idea. Let's see. Marv really liked you, didn't he, Maeve?
We are great friends. Great right. buddies. Interesting little fella.
Would you be willing to
great.
Go
in? Maeve goes with you.
Would you like Solana to go with you as backup, Maddox?
Backup? You know?
Or at least a runner for help?
Pretty face sometimes loosens lips.
True. True.
Solana yeah. didn't like that comment. She gives you a scowl.
What I meant, Solana, was that sometimes uh-huh. your presence alone can make people feel more open because you're such a strong, should we go?
I'll take that as a compliment, and yeah, we can go. I'll go with you.
Alright. Hey, Dacian, on your way, could you stop by your place of work and see if there's a message from the Boy King for me?
Sure. I could do that. And he looks around for something to eat. Realizing...
There's stuff on the stove.
Anything that he can just grab and go? Okay. He grabs a little bit and then heads out the door with, hopefully, Maeve behind him.
Oh, yeah. Maeve would somehow be trying to do her traditional walking ahead of you, yet not knowing where she's going sort of a thing. Mm.
Hey, Bon, while you're around here and keeping an eye on things, why don't you maybe check in on Morph at some point if he doesn't show back up? Make sure he's okay.
Okay.
He's in the lean-to shed next to my Potter shed.
No, oh, he hides there.
He and thinks nobody knows.
Yes. It's very hard to keep track of the places we don't know about. He's not sneaky. In the wild, he would die. That would make me sad.
Maybe you can teach him how to be a little more sneaky. That might be useful for him in the near future.
I will, after chores and cookies, talk about concealing oneself with him today.
Thanks. Appreciate that. He's a good kid. Hate to see anything happen to him. Mm. And he turns around and walks out the door.
Maddox looks over at Solana and says, "Shall we?"
Sure. Lead the way.
Yeah, he would. I'm trying to remember if I actually know where Al lives.
Doesn't he live in Billy's house?
He's definitely staying in Billy's house, and that's where you played cards with him, yeah. And then he frequents... you've seen him do most of his business right from that house, just like Billy did. Though you've seen him or heard of him spending more time in the Bucktooth than Billy ever did.
Okay. Well, they'd probably walk with Maeve and Daisy and up until like a crossroad where they had to split. Before they split, he'd turn to Daisy and say, a little quietly, can I have a few coins? I may be helpful in loosening those lips.
Yeah, rough ballpark. 50 be enough? 50. What do you say?
50 should do it.
Okay. He pulls out about 50 gold pieces and hands it to you.
Thank you, sir. Where should we meet up?
What if we were to meet up near the caravans? In, I don't know, an hour or so?
All right. Sounds good.
Maybe. Yeah, about an hour or so, unless something holds you up, and in which case... Because discussing things could take time sometimes. In which case, I'll head over to Al's old place and see if you're there. If that's where... I mean, Billy's old place, if that's where Al is. And I should be fine. Or Solana... No, sorry. Maeve and I shouldn't have any issues with... What's his name again?
Marvin.
Marvin. Thank you. Marvin. He's not the type to give us problems, per se. But if you don't see us, that would be the direction you could head.
It'd be a wonderful time to have a sending stone if they weren't possessed.
Yeah, it would be. Maybe if we can acquire a couple more, that would be useful.
I don't think I want any more, personally.
As they're splitting up, he says, be safe to Daisy, and then he turns to me and says, maybe be as reckless as you feel.
Same to you, Maddox.
Thanks, Maddox. You too. And he walks off quickly, forcing Maeve to maybe sprint every now and again just to maintain her image of leading the way.
It would do like the four steps super quickly and then like the trot, 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 and then to get ahead, four steps, stupider, quick, trot, trot, trot.
He's amusing himself on the way.
We'll start with, unless anyone has anything to do before you leave the homestead.
Mm-mm.
We'll start with Maddox and Solana. Do you try the Bucktooth first, or do you try Aloysius's new home?
If it's on the way, I'd try the Bucktooth first.
It is, yeah. When you stop through there, you can see it's a little busier. It's often quite dead any time that resembles the daylight hours. But currently, especially in the morning, I mean, if it's full, it's full of people that are sleeping in the corners, not full of people that are imbibing or meeting. However, this particular day, you can see that there is a table that's set up in the corner now. And there's actually like a screen on either side of it that's been hastily kind of thrown up. And it's nothing too fancy, but it obscures the line of sight a little bit. And all you can see back there is Aloysius sitting in the corner of what is now like this corner booth. And there are 3 to 5 silhouettes behind the screen in there with him as he's sitting there talking. And there are 2 tufts on either side of it that are trying to look like they're not guarding the area. The barkeep is actually at his post, and he's kind of looking a little more vigilant, and he looks like a new guy.
Oh, a new guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just go up to the bar with Solana with me and kind of try to get a seat that has eyesight to Al.
Yeah, that's not tricky to do right from the bar.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of put my hand up like as a two, asking for two drinks.
Solana,
mm-hmm.
You've been in some sewers recently.
Yeah.
This grosses you out in a different way, this place.
Yeah.
Like the stool is damp. You're afraid it's not beer. There's like wood chips on the floor. The floorboards themselves are just that. They're boards set on top of the sand, you know. Sometimes they squish when you step on them. Sometimes they sound like there's nothing at all underneath them. You can hear water running somewhere. Or you can hear liquid running somewhere, you know. There's a variety of smells. There's a lot of dusty bottles. The funny thing is Maddox, this is the cleanest you've ever seen the place.
Oh my.
And Solana, you're not impressed.
She definitely, like, takes out her bag and, like, grabs a rag and, like, tries to, like, wipe the seat off. And then sits on it and tries to wipe off the bar in front of her.
I think your shawl still has something on it that you rolled up and put away.
Oh, gosh.
What was that? I forgot.
It was, starts with a G, I think.
Feces. Feces.
Yeah. Oh. It was, kobold.
Oh, yeah.
Kobold yes. feces.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. She forgot that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
She's mortified. She's gonna ignore
Maddox Maddox sees her struggling with the situation, takes off his jacket and puts it on the stool for her. And just encourages her not to touch the bar.
Thank you. She's
you
extremely
uncomfortable. Do you want me to hold on to that shawl for you?
Yeah.
Okay. He takes that and sticks it in his bag. And when they get a couple drinks, he kind of turns over to Al, tries to make eye contact, and raises a glass.
Al is in, like, heated discussion. He's kind of scowling at somebody and pointing at him as he talks. And you can see one of the silhouettes is kind of acting defensively. You kind of like sit there doing that hover, hold eye contact thing, waiting. And he catches the social cue and looks at you. And he kind of like raises an eyebrow and nods like, okay, I see you. One sec. And then goes back to whatever he's saying in his booth. Heavy, heavy whispered tones.
All right. I'm just going to tell Solana, I think maybe we just wait this out a little bit. If you feel like it, maybe you could get a little bit closer nonchalantly and see what they're talking about. I think he'd notice me. Well, he'll definitely notice you, but in a different way.
Sure. I could try that.
Okay. Don't be too pushy. I don't want you to get in trouble.
Okay. She's gonna go try to find a seat that's kind of near people, but not near people, that's kind of clean, that she sure. could hear Al.
And just give me a performance check as you, pretty much alone in the establishment, except for two guards and a corner booth and a bartender and Maddox, try to pick a different seat without making it look weird. Okay. What'd you get?
I got a crit fail on the dice, and then what was I rolling for?
This is performance.
oh dear.
Three.
A three! You get up and your stool goes, eh? And everybody stops talking and looks at you. And the bartender goes, do you need something? We don't have a privy.
I just need a breath of air. I'm gonna go outside real quick, and I'll be back.
Okay.
She's
gonna. Maddox just left out his hand.
Give me
on his forehead.
Give me an intelligence check there.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just intelligence.
Just intelligence. Oh, there it is. Okay. Nine.
Yeah. Yeah. So nine is you know, maybe like even a step above your average human. The only reason that we're rolling bigger things is because you guys are usually doing incredible things. But with a nine, you're able to deduce that the walls are thin, and he's in a corner booth. So you might peek around back and see if you can sneak up and listen in through the wall.
All right, she's going to do that.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a stealth check as you walk around the back of the building instead, getting some fresh air.
Ooh, dirty 20.
Dirty 20, mm-hmm. For sure. You walk around the corner, and you are mindful of where the sun is in position to the building because you could be seen, your silhouette could be seen through the cracks in the timbers if you were on the sun side, right? So you're walking across the shadowy side, you're watching your footfalls, you're careful that nothing's going to fall or tumble from your pockets, you're watching your breathing, and you notice you can hear somebody breathing outside kind of heavily, and it looks like there is actually a guard who's positioned outside, like behind the booth, and he's leaning on some crates that are next to it, but he seems to be half asleep, and on the other side of the right angle corner of this building, so... you're able to creep up a little bit closer to where Aloysius is sitting and still be out of his sight. Do you want to try to do that?
Yeah, she does. Okay. She tried to do that.
Yeah, you just mosey right on over and start to listen in, and you can hear some hushed tones inside. You don't recognize any of them, but you can kind of deduce from what you saw earlier that the main one speaking seems to be Aloysius, and you hear him saying, "Listen, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you're worried about. It doesn't even matter how many men we lose. If we lose the sewers, we are no longer a gang. If there is no point of contact in the sewers, if there is no versatility, if we cannot move undetected underneath the city, we are the world's worst book club because none of you idiots know how to read." And that's what you're hearing. You keep listening?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can hear like some muffled voices defending themselves, and you hear Aloysius' voice go, "Well, what were they doing?" And you hear some more muffled replies, listening really like very carefully. You think you hear the word "armored escort," and he says, "Who's escorting?" And you hear some words, and he's like, "The Crown? The Crown is sending men into the sewers. What were they carrying? How big was it? Did it look like it was sealed? Did they bring it back out? How many of them were there? Of course I want you to count how many there are. Anytime anybody goes into my sewers, I would like to know why, and I would like maybe some money for them trespassing, or I might like them not to come out again." And continues on in this way. He's just grilling them about traffic in and out of the sewers. It sounds like they're kind of mumbling and they're further from you. He's sitting right in the corner, so you can hear him a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you're picking up on. And then you hear kind of this as Al pounds on the table and he says, "Excuses are not going to cut it." And it sounds like the guy around the corner is waking up.
She's gonna sneak away.
Okay.
Yeah. Go back. Go back inside.
Yeah. Maddox, what have you been doing there?
Well, I probably finished both his and Solana's drink, because she left it.
She did.
And he would have been trying to make out what was happening. Since there was nobody else really in the bar, he would have been trying to listen himself, but probably wouldn't have picked up all that because he was a little further away. But maybe just making small talk with the bartender to make it seem like, you know, inconspicuous, and just waiting for Al to get done.
Sure. The bartender, by far the most polite guy that they've had in here in a while. That's not saying much, but, I mean, he dots his T's and crosses his I's, so there's that. He tells you his name is Bus, and he's new, and he kind of alludes that, like he kind of pushes you a little bit at first, like, asking if you're gonna be trouble or a nuisance, and he said, you know, he kind of, like, he literally just says, like, "Listen, this establishment, it's under new management, okay? So it's, I know it's got a reputation for being a rowdy place, and Aloysius, well, the boss, he says, he's not trying to run everyone off just yet, but if you cause problems in here, you know, you're gonna be a problem."
"Oh, I assure you, Bus. By the way, lovely name, your mother would be proud. You don't have to worry about me." And he looks over at Al, Al's expecting me anyway. I'm just waiting for him to finish up his little meet and greet over there.
All right. Well, provided that that's true, my sincere apologies, and let me fresh up your drink.
Yeah, could I get a water for the lady, by the way?
We're working on that.
or milk. Milk is fine, too. You know, never mind. Two more drinks is good.
Okay. We'll work on that, too. Then you see him, like, grab a charcoal stick and write down on the countertop something. Out of sight.
Shopping list.
Yeah.
Or an annoying person's list.
Maddox is on many of those.
Yeah. So from that point, Solana, you come back in from your spy escapade.
Yes. She's going to come back in and just sit back down on the stool and go, oh, much better. I feel better. I'm good now. And then start drinking the drink if there's a drink there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just warm beer.
She's sipping on the warm beer.
All right.
Yep. She's not.
And good. They're just.
Yep.
Just waiting for Al to get done.
Okay. We're going to put a pin in that just for a moment and skip over to Wacy and Anna, or more appropriately, Dacian and Maeve. You guys make your way through kind of the market district, which is the most direct route, and then pass through the caravans cutting out of the market district and into the warehouses. Rows and rows and rows of square buildings, all of them constructed at the same time and repurposed and purchased and rented for the last 200, 300 years until you come to the corner office of Marvin. Marvin, the short, happily married halfling.
And that's the story of how I saved the king and learned all sorts of things about necromancy. Can't apply it yet, of course.
You saved the king.
Well, indirectly. I saved his you know, step-cousin's brother.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, looks like we're here. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Yeah, there's two guards, full armor, either side of the door, and they seem to recognize you just about instantly. Their helms are on, so you can't be certain if it's the same gentleman as usual. And they say nothing. They simply part their halberds, and one of them turns and knocks on the door, and you hear something muffled on the other side, and then they open the door and gesture you to go inside. It's very dim in there compared to the bright, about noonday sun outside, and notably cool. Like a gush of cool air comes out of this stuffy little office.
Hmm. Dacian tips his hat as he walks in and appreciates the nice cool air. Mm-hmm. And expresses it to Marvin. Did you get this changed? What? Is this something new?
Yeah, it's good to see you both, by the way. Great to see you both. So this box contraption, and he like gets on his hands and knees and underneath his desk, and he says, I like to keep it right underneath my toes, and they call it an Elven Swamp Cooler.
Huh.
And he pulls it out and sets it up on the countertop. It looks like a wooden box with some ornate, you know, gilded scroll work on it, and it has vents on one side, and it has a knob on the top that oscillates, presumably left and right, and that's about it. It's making an odd little woo-woo noise that's much more noticeable as he pulls it out from underneath the desk, and he's like, keeps my toesies cold.
Wow, that's really cool.
That's You're moving up.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm happy for you.
It was a gift from the wife.
Oh. Nice. Very nice.
It's going good.
Good. Well, we were here because, actually, business this time. I'm not,
You don't want my monocle again, do you?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I actually came to ask you about, remember that caravan that we busted a little while ago?
Yes, the turning point. The day that I decided to become brave. I lit a fire.
Yes, you did. Any of the guys that got away, did you ever track them down later? Or know where they are?
I was told that the guards pursued a couple of the vagrants that were not even present when we made our raid.
Okay.
And he pops his collar as he says that. And he says, the one who got away, I'm told he made his way into the sewers, and that's where they ended their pursuit. And then as for the Yeti, I heard that was quite a kerfuffle, and I'm not getting straight stories on it. I'm not sure what happened there. And the harpies, I believe, I need to check my documents. And he hops down and starts thumbing through some paperwork, and he says, they were apprehended. They are not citizens. Been a while since we saw harpies here. Had to actually check. I'm glad that they checked before they removed the gags.
Oh, yes.
And they were, well, removed from the city.
Good, good. So the two that were taken into custody, were they released somewhere, or are they still in custody somewhere?
I don't believe that any of them were taken into custody.
Oh, they're just... So they're probably not in town anymore. There were
a couple casualties, and one was pursued, and then the harpies, they're still around. But we did some digging and asked at the academy, and they said they have very little intelligence, less than kobolds.
Okay.
Talking with them might not be the best idea. Also, I think they're dead. I think they just killed them.
Okay. Well, in that case, do you know of any other crews that work like they did?
Smugglers.
Yes.
Well, yeah, so students do it on accident all the time.
Deliberate sort.
Deliberate, nefarious, or nefarious. Just entrepreneurial.
Both.
Bit of both.
Bit of both. Are you speaking in terms of human trafficking, or are you speaking in terms of nefarious items?
How big's the list of each of those things, respectively?
Well, with the items, we're on it. I mean, I've got my monocle, and I have my teams now. Every single caravan that comes in is now officially searched or questioned before they enter. Caravans that establish a good rapport with our customs agents are treated more leniently, but still occasionally randomly searched. Mm-hmm. We've seen less of a flow in weird arcane items entering the city. It's possible to say how many are leaving. With the human trafficking, that's where it gets tricky. I'm putting forward a proposal to the Boy King to start an entirely new department that is singly focuses on that, because there's a lot more that goes into it than meets the eye. It's not always, oof, like it was that unfortunate day where they're bound and gagged in the bottom of a wagon. Sometimes they don't even realize that it's happening. Job offer in town, or going to meet your uncle, or you know, would you like to travel with me, or any number of ways. Would you like to be a student at the Grand Academy? Your patron, your mysterious uncle has finally decided to leave you his inheritance. All of these things can be employed to get people happily and fully believing in their well-being and safety, and excited to get inside the walls where things take a turn for the worse, or to get them to leave the walls as well.
Okay, so you don't have... So what I'm gathering is that you don't have anybody or any smugglers in mind specifically.
No.
Okay.
Whatever capacity they're operating at, it is above my ability currently or resources to manage or even investigate.
Okay.
Perhaps that would be something you might be interested in assisting or spearheading. It would play directly along with your charge to investigate threats to the palace. After all, assassins have to smuggle themselves in, or any threat, just the same. Mm-hmm. This is truly a threat to the crown.
It is. And that is somewhat of kind of what I'm looking into at the moment. Because that smuggler band that we disabled, I do not believe they are very high on this particular food chain. I think there is somebody above them that maybe hires that sort to move particular items or people. And I'm trying to locate them, figure out who they are, and try to stop them. Because this seems to be a pretty well-funded and successful group. I do not know to what extent. You haven't heard anything, any rumors, or have had any information that might lead to something like this being in existence at all?
I just watch paperwork, right? I keep my ledgers, and he gestures around his office and his drawers and drawers and drawers of folders of ledgers, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, the numbers, they talk, they flow. And let's say we're talking about income, right? Mm-hmm. I can tell if someone's making money because they have more assets than they have liabilities, and I can see their income flow. Money flows into their pocket, and I can see who from, and I can learn a lot from that. Mm-hmm. And I can see the ebb and flow of the tide sometimes when late at night when I've had too much coffee and have been looking at the numbers too long. And I noticed something recently that stood out to me. Mm. And it's been bugging me for some time, actually, and I just hadn't really quite noticed it. But now that you mention it, the numbers... Well, specifically and particularly related to the academy.
Really?
And the ledgers there. There have been, and it's well known, but nobody seemed to notice, there haven't been any sorcerers in about 200 years at the academy. They're closing down the sorcery wing, which makes me wonder, the giantess that was... in the caravan.
Mm-hmm.
What is the source of her power? And that's where we're going to call this episode.
Oof.
Nope.
Thank you for joining us in tonight's adventure. Don't forget to tune in next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Alaska Standard Time to catch the next installment of Frontier Fiction. My name is Zeb, playing Maddox.
My name is Veda, playing Solana.
I'm Wacy, playing Dacian.
I'm Colton, I've been your DM.
And I'm Anna, and playing Maeve.
So glad to have you guys join us tonight. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so at Frontier Fiction on Facebook, Frontier Fiction on Instagram. We would love to chat with you. And again, as we adjust to Zooming Zeb in... for our recordings. Let us know how our audio quality is. If you have any tips about doing this kind of thing, we'd love to hear it. And thanks for listening.
Catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Toodles.
Keep a stick on the ice.